You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 22nd of May, 2022, and we have a busy show tonight. My guest on the show tonight is a lady I'm sure you've all come across. She's been doing fantastic work over the years in the alt media, exposing a lot of information, doing a lot of interviews, Kerry Casty. And Kerry been on a few times on Open Your Mind Radio as well, but it's been a good few years since we've interviewed Kerry. So it's great having her back on and having a catch up of what's going on and what's been happening in the world over the few years since we've last spoken. So I'll be bringing Kerry in a few minutes and a few of the things to talk about as well. But before we crack on, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, and also circleofwhitelightradio.com. And you'll find us on patreon.com/COWLR and PayPal on the website if you want to make a donation. It's much appreciated. As you know, again, I normally tell people, and regular listeners will know this, that on the website we have a pay it forward option. And what we do is we allocate most of the donations that we get to a worthy cause every month, and that could be a suicide charity, it could be a homeless charity, it could be a local community group, or somebody who's actually doing the right thing and service to others. And we made a donation this week, which I'll go into in a few minutes time and talk about that. Also, we have T-shirts available. If you want a T-shirt, send me an email to contactus@circleofwhitelight.com to support the show. They're €10 plus postage and packing. If you want to just email us any information or anything of interest, again, the email address is contactus@circleofwhitelight.com. Okay, the first thing on the list, you know, I normally read out articles and stuff like that, but this article, it was actually on Kerry's website. Kerry posted it up there a few days ago, and I thought it was interesting considering that the subject matter we're going to be talking about tonight. I said that would be a good thing to actually talk about and read. So this is from Kerry's blog on Kerry's website, and I said that NWO/WHO pulling out the alien card reptilian in top UK-US meeting, major leak, exclusive inside intel. So Kerry said, so a friend of a friend who was involved with a biopharma company based in the Bay Area that supposedly is making a product that will be sprayed in surgical rooms to get rid of pathogens and viruses is doing a deal with a group in Europe. They had an in-person meeting in the UK on a base there. In attendance was someone from the US embassy accompanied by a couple of US military and a reptilian. The other members were humans, both European and executives from America. There were about 12 or less people in the meeting. The California executive was introduced to the reptilian and shook hands with it. It was wearing a military uniform. We are trying to get more details on which branch of the US military. This executive flew back and called my friend. Now, we assume that this display would be leaked from the guy to my friend, who's one of my regular sources, an ex-Marine. Why do you think they want to leak this info? Because for sure they knew it was going to be leaked. This is a major move by the WHO. The meeting was set up and approved by the top guy in the NHS, counterpart to the NIH and top guy in Europe. This would appear to be a move by NWO, WHO towards disclosure. According to Mark Richards, the reptilians have wanted disclosure for a long time, and this is no coincidence. So, also it says, US House Subcommittee will hold a public meeting on UFOs, now called Unidentified Aerial Vehicles, next week for the first time in more than half a century. So, folks, I don't know whether you actually heard this, and we'll talk about this with Kerry, but Washington are going to be holding a public meeting, and it's been like over 50 years since it's happened before, about unidentified aerial vehicles, and they're going to be talking about it. So is this part of the disclosure? Is this part of them rolling out their plans to condition us in some way or shape or form? Project Bluebeam, or we'll talk to Kerry about it and get her take on it as well. But it's interesting that they're doing this for, you know, it hasn't been 50 years since they've talked about it, and now all of a sudden they're talking about it. So, you know, let's see what's going on there. So before we get into that, a couple of things for my week, as usual. I paid a visit to a Shaolin Buddhist temple in Slane, County Meath, to see Sifu Nick, who's the Grand Master regarding a few aches and pains. Thanks to Mary for the hookup. Mary's in her assembly group. And I went to see him 3 times so far this week, and the work that he did was definitely an improvement. So I hope to get a few more treatments off Nick. Now, I'm more than happy to pay for each session, you know, because obviously an exchange of energy. But the Buddhist way is that if someone comes to the temple in pain or if they're ill, then they cannot charge for treatment. Otherwise, you know, there is no charge. Now, I think this is great, but I said to Nick, surely you would have everybody queuing up for treatment. But that's the process, and maybe the universe makes sure that this doesn't happen. Now, I did say to Nick that, you know, at the end of the day, the bank manager and the ESB and all the bills that come in this 3D world have to be paid. So although it's service to others, you know, I mean, there should be something. There should become some kind of donation system going on. So based on the fact that this fits in with the service to others approach to helping your fellow man, Circle of White Light Radio made a donation to the temple to allow Sifu Nick to carry on offering this service. After all, no matter how much you help people for free, bills have to be paid, as I said. So if you pop over to Circle of White Light website and click on the paid forward menu option, you will see Nick receiving the check and the link to the Shaolin Buddhist Temple website. Thanks to everybody who donates to Circle of White Light. So Nick is doing, you know, a fantastic job. It's brilliant that he sticks with his convictions, and fair play to him for doing that. Really nice guy. Has been really helpful to me. So as he's doing service to others and he's practicing what he preaches, it just makes sense that, you know, a little donation his way to the actual temple, not to Nick, but to the temple. And then he can allocate that to wherever he wants to do to help others. Because I'm sure there's people out there that are in pain and they can't afford to go and get treatment. So it's just a consideration, folks, that if you are in pain and you're near Slane, you live near Slane, or you can get to Slane, maybe give Nick a ring, have a chat with him and see if he can help you in some way, because he does healing as well. Okay, so it's just a consideration, but I don't want everybody swamping Nick. You know, the poor guy's doing a lot as it is, you know. So, but a big thank you to Nick for doing that. Right, and just very quickly, I was down in the Hill of Tara today. I met up with a few people from the assembly. It was great to meet them. Some people I hadn't met before. And we were just sitting on the grass. We were having a chat. And the weather was fine. You know, it was overcast, but it wasn't really raining. You know, a few spits here and there. I was sitting down on the Hill of Tara. And although I couldn't hang around, I had to head off. They had some guy doing a tour there and doing a talk about the Hill of Tara and everything else. So it was great to pop down and meet people there. Okay, now I'm going to get my guest on and we'll get some information for people who've never heard of Kerry, because I know there's new people that are waking up and tuning in for the first time, and maybe some of this information is going to be all fairly new to you. So we'll have a bit of a catch up before we get into the heavy stuff. So in 2005, Kerry picked up a consumer grade camcorder and began interviewing people on the subjects of UFOs, the paranormal and the secret space program. Project Camelot was formed when Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan met and spent the weekend in Tynegal, England, overlooking the sea in the home of King Arthur. Inspired by the legend of King Arthur and the Round Table, a utopian vision for the future, We decided to combine our talents and name their project in tribute to this vision. Hence why it was called Project Camelot. Okay. Project Camelot YouTube channel has recently been demonetized. No surprise there. OIM was demonetized, and that's why I don't put Circle of White Light on YouTube, because they only do that to all channels that are trying to get the truth out there. And deleted off YouTube after 17 years as a YouTube director due to censorship on my interviews with doctors and medical professions with regard to the COVID-19 controversy. No surprise there. They've been clamping down on everybody, as you know. After being demonetized by YouTube as of May 2019, Project Camelot became a subscriber-based platform. Our original library of over 900 videos will remain free on this website as well as odyssey.com. All videos made after May 2019 are under the new subscriber platform. Some videos will remain free for months when the information is considered crucial to the public well-being. Since its inception, Project Camelot has become a leader in the area of whistleblower testimony by providing filmed interviews, short guerrilla style, on location with key witnesses and researchers from all around the world. We have travelled to remote corners of the globe and revealed secrets in areas previously only known to a select few, from secret societies to those with high-level security clearances in the secret governments. Project Camelot has now been operating for over 15 years with Kerry Casty at the helm as the CEO and founder. Good evening, Kerry. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Brilliant. Kerry, thanks for coming on. It's been a few years, as I said, since we had a chat. Last time we chatted was a few years ago on OIM. So it's great having you on Circle of White Light and being able to have a catch up. And even in them few years that we haven't talked, so much has gone on in the alt media and also in society on the planet. And to be honest with you, I'm not too sure in this case, because I know you have so much information of what's going on. I'm kind of lost for words as to where do we start with this. I mean, we talked about Project Camelot and what you did with Bill, and then you went on, you carried on doing the videos, and you interviewed so many whistleblowers of what's going on. If anything, I'd probably say things probably get more convoluted than more kind of more transparent, you know, as to what's going on. More clear. Maybe it gets more confusing because the more people you interview and they have their side of the story based on their experience or maybe their security level, trying to put it all together. How do you piece all this together? So let's start there and all these interviews and the information you deal with. Let's look at the practicalities of your job and what you do and how you put this together.
Yes. Like everyone out there, I basically connect the dots. I use my intuition, and I have a bit more insight, I would say, because I have talked to thousands of people, as you probably do in your job. And so when you talk to a lot of people, you really get to know the world. And I travel the world as well, the way I work, as well as, you know, I do lead tours. I've led several tours of the Stone Circles in England, for example, and also with Maria Wheatley, and also in Egypt, and there's another place, Malta, and a few other places, Adam's Calendar. I mean, I've gone to these mysterious places as well, so, and filmed and have made short documentaries, Göbekli Tepe in Turkey as well. So I'm not just sitting at home with a computer. I actually have been exposed to the world in person. And I also have done many, many interviews, especially in the early days when we were able to travel the world with a small inheritance that I got from my mother's passing. That didn't last. In fact, it only lasted a year or two. But actually, working with Bill Ryan only lasted 3 years of the 17 years I've now been doing this. So in the very beginning, first I had an inheritance, my mother passed, and then he had an inheritance, his mother passed. And then we asked for donations, and we actually lived literally on those. Mm-hmm. And so that actually kept us going. And I at least during those first 3 years. And after that, I continued on my own, and I did have donations. And I don't know, you know, if you follow all this, but I was a very early YouTube director. So I came on board having studied directing in Hollywood and in acting schools and so on. And I had made a film in UCLA, short fiction film program. And so I already was doing this kind of work. And I also, when I got onto YouTube as a director, everyone else was in the early days that you might remember only able to make 10-minute segments.
Mm, yeah.
And I actually could do 2 hours.
Okay.
It's bizarre because I had these credentials, and so they gave me this, they gave what they called at the time YouTube directors these kind of special privileges. Mm. And so we were able to build our channel out from there. And so we didn't put sound bites out. We actually did 2-hour in-person interviews, again, around the world. So this has given me, I guess you might say, a different perspective. And yes, I guess you could call it maybe that there is more confusion now, but I have to say that in a sense, the longer you go and the more you learn, the more you see convergences among the information. And because I am sort of different in the way that I do things, I am always looking to create a big picture to share with the world. And that's what Camelot started out doing and has always been focused on. So I always look for the what you call a through line to a story so that you can follow the story, because I was trained in Hollywood, you know, worked there for 20 years before I started doing this. And so I see things in terms of story, meaning it's got a beginning, middle, and an end. It's not just chaos. So I look for that. I actually look for the threads that are connected. I look for the truths that everyone talks about, even though they don't know each other. You know, they've never met. They don't know of each other's work. But they have all reached the same conclusion. So when you have those three things, and this is the CIA also uses this, by the way, to do their intel sort of operations, because this is when you have, again, these things that seemingly would be isolated that all come. It's kind of like saying, okay, well, if three people who don't know each other, let's say there's a UFO that, you know, goes from one city to the next, and the cities are only, I don't know, 10 miles away. And those people obviously don't know each other, but they're all looking up at the sky at the same moment. They see the same craft. Then what you've got is a good basis to believe there's something there, that's something worth investigating further.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is what has motivated me and allowed me to continue and to get actually better and better and better at my job and better at assessing truth from falsity and being able to see because also the lies and the way people lie is very telling. You start to learn, you get an ear, your ear gets tuned more and more to false information and the way it gets put together and when ego comes in and all these kinds of things. So I don't know if that helps or if that answers your question.
No, definitely. And, you know, talking to people, and I know you're not afraid to ask the hard questions as well. And sometimes, you know, I've done interviews, and even recently, because I said to an individual, it was a potential guest, and I said it was something they believe in, I said didn't resonate with me. And all of a sudden I get an email the next day going, oh, I've been told that I'm not ready to do the interview. And I'm thinking, well, we're not going to agree on everything. I mean, that to me is kind of very flaky, and, you know, I don't know, you know, it's just kind of maybe ego driven more so than the being told that, you know, it's not the right time for an interview. And so I find that certain individuals are good getting on and having a chat with them, and other people are, yeah, they have it. There's definitely an ego at play, and I've come across them, and some heavy hitters on YouTube, believe it or not. I remember one person, I won't mention any name, and he's fairly well known out there. And I asked him to come on the show because my idea of doing a show was to get people on to share the information, because I don't know everything. And maybe if I get people on and they share what they know, then we all get educated and then everybody kind of learns a bit of information. And then you get the email in and maybe they have an assistant and the email comes in and you have this list of 10 questions that you want to know about your radio show. And I'm thinking, that's ego. If you really wanted to help people and educate people, you wouldn't be sending me a list of them questions. Out of the goodness out of your heart, you would just come on and go, you know what, there's audiences out there from other radio shows and, you know, YouTube channels that are maybe who don't know me, have never heard my information, and I'll go and do the show to educate them, and I might gain some audience members as well. You know, that's the positive of doing it. But when you have the egos kick in, and I'm going to give you a compliment, Kerry. I don't want to give you a big head, but I'm going to give Kerry a compliment. Every time I've asked Kerry to do an interview, I said, Kerry, would you be up for doing an interview? Kerry has always been humbled and said, yes, no problem, happy to come on, happy to chat. Never been an issue. So, Kerry, for being humbled and having your ego intact and in place, I say thank you and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's kind of you. I actually have a policy about that. By and large, I can't even think quite if I've ever refused to do an interview. My policy is basically, even when people are totally unknown and no one's ever heard of them, they have 5 listeners. Generally speaking, I believe I would always say yes. So the reason for that is exactly as you say. I want people to hear what I have to say. I want them to hear what my witnesses, testimony that I have covered all these years is, I find, I think is so crucial to waking up the human race that I will share it anywhere at any time, anytime somebody wants to talk to me.
Yeah, well, again, it's the moral conscience, which is why me and Steve originally started Open Your Mind Radio, because we felt we had the moral conscience to try and educate, wake people up. And if one person out of all the interviews we did woke up and learned from it, our job was done. We were happy. And that was the drive. And I know there's a lot of things we're going to get into and we have time to do it. But I did want to mention the new alt media as a topic before we move on, because at the end of the day, I mean, we might be talking tonight in the show and there might be things that I might disagree with. I might go, I don't know about that. But that's the whole idea of talking to each other and sharing information. Doesn't mean we're going to agree with everything, but we can have a talk about it, you know, and maybe there's information that I don't know that you know that, and they'll go, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'll entertain that. That's fine. And that's the great thing with having talks and sharing information. But as I say, there's a certain guest during the week that I did approach, and because it seemed to me anyway that because I didn't agree with everything this person believed in, that they just decided not to do an interview. And I thought, well, that's just ridiculous. But, you know, you talked about it. Both of us talked about it before we went live. And there is a number of people out there who want to do the business of whether it's a spiritual business or whatever it is, but they seem to lack the technology skills, the techie skills. They seem to lack the business skills of PR and marketing. And maybe some of them, I mean, Kerry, you interview people as well. Some people lack the ability to actually have a conversation. I call it conversational ping pong. To you, to me, to you, to me. And we have this flow going. But some people don't seem to have that ability either.
Yeah, I understand. Like some people, there are some people that come on my show and they expect to lecture people. Okay, they don't want questions really. And so in those cases, of course, in order to put in a question, you have to, in essence, interrupt them. And they don't like that either. And I've had a few people who kind of freaked out about that. And then also had some listeners that freaked out about that because they are so used to being fed information and they're so used to people not really talking to each other. All they want is someone to basically lecture them. And that's not what, you know, radio shows or video, you know, as I do video, you know, shows are about in my world. I think an interchange and interaction is very important, a give and take, as you say. So, yeah, I mean, I realize there are people out there like that. Some of them are just too eager. Some of them love the, you know, sound of their own voice, or in certain cases, I can elaborate if you like. There are people that have, they're so closely guarding their information and so afraid that if I ask them a certain question, I will blow their cover, so to speak. Even though they can perfectly easily say, you know, I prefer not to answer that, or, you know, on the grounds that might incriminate me type of thing, or I can just, or just say no, or just say, you know, yes and not explain, or, you know what I'm saying? In other words, there's lots of ways to avoid a question, but some people don't even want that. So I don't know what your situation is, but I invite tons of people on my show that never respond, and I cannot account for that. So number one, I say, well, the agencies are basically, you know, they watch everything I do and listen to what everything I do. So they're delaying or deleting the email. It never reaches the person. Or I could say there's an inordinate amount of people that I invite on the show who decide that I'm not worth responding to, number one, never see my email, number two, or would not want to come on my show and don't want to tell me that. Okay. Mm. And so I get that. Like in these, it's also become very evident during these days of sort of health, you know, related things to COVID, that I have been interviewing doctors. Everyone's interviewing doctors, but a lot of doctors, a lot of those really well-known doctors will not even talk to me. They just won't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because I, you know, I deal with what is actually, you know, above top secret and also has to do with aliens. So I, you know, that frightens them. They don't want to be associated with that, et cetera, et cetera. So they just simply ignore me.
Yep, I have to totally agree with you on that. And I'm glad you said that, because the listeners are kind of getting a look and a peek into what it's like running an alt media radio show and TV show. Like you, Kerry, I send emails out to guests. I don't get any emails back saying, yes, you know, I'd be interested in your show, or you'd email them and they don't even bother getting back to you to say, no, thanks, I'm not interested. Or you get labeled, oh, that Circle of White Light, they speak about aliens and the spiritual stuff, and that's a bit woo-woo. And yeah, you'd watch the BBC and the RTE and maybe Fox News, and they'd have spiritual people on and talk about UFOs. But they don't get labelled, but we get labelled. And because we've a label, there's people out there saying, well, I'm involved in the politics and I can't go on that radio show because people will see that as woo-woo and they think I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I'm thinking, well, if that's your thinking, then what's the point? There's no point getting you on, you know?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I guess for many years, the CIA are the ones, I guess you've probably heard this, that convince people that being a so-called conspiracy theorist was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So they actually stigmatized that word, when in reality, as far as I'm concerned, and when I grew up, a conspiracy was something very worth looking into, because what that means is that you've got a small group of humans plotting against the rest of humanity. And so to do nefarious and negative things. So I would think that being a conspiracy investigator is like the best thing you could be.
Yeah, totally.
I had a completely different vision of this my whole life. And therefore, when I heard the stigmatized version of things and also the laughter type of aspect, I thought, well, these people don't have open minds. They have closed minds and they're afraid. That's another big factor that people, you know, have to consider. And I am dealing every day with people that are afraid. The fear is evident. It's evident in their voice, on their face, et cetera, et cetera. And lately, I know you're Irish, so this is probably a terrible thing to bring up, but I have to say, because of the way I work, is lately I've been making some statements about the Bible. And apparently no one else is allowed to, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, unless you're for it, of course, you're a rabid whatever. And I don't even know what to call those people. I think they like to call themselves Christians, but I'm not so sure they are Christians if, in my understanding of the word. But at any rate, a lot of those people don't, you know, it's like forbidden to actually question the Bible. And I am flabbergasted by that, actually, and the reactions by some people out there. Well, and I'm also noticing that it is also a way to that it's, I know people don't get it, but it is a programming. Okay. I'm sorry to say this, you know, for the people I'm offending right now, because I know there must be zillions. But the fact of the matter is, if you just think about it logically, if there's one book and one book only that the whole world is supposed to read, listen to, follow, this and that, then you can't actually say it's anything other than programming, because there's no way that one book could matter that much. And then you have to look at who really wrote that book. And there's tons of, you know, dialogue and discussion and investigation and so on. But when public people like me actually, you know, bring it up, bring the controversy up, I'm getting shock everywhere. Okay.
Yeah, no, totally. And I'll just kind of, because you said a lot there, so I'll just kind of pick out little pieces that you said there, right? The whole idea of people obviously applying cognitive dissonance, when, for people who don't know, back in 2017, Kerry and myself and Steve were on the same billing at the BASIS conference in Stillorgan, in a hotel in Stillorgan in Dublin. Back in 2017, and the talk that myself and Steve did at the BASIS conference was the psychology of the waking up process. So we wanted to get into the how the mind works when you challenge people's belief system. And as Kerry mentioned there about people shutting down the societal programming. And, you know, I always say to people, well, you cannot form an opinion if you've only one side of the opinion. And that's the problem with the whole COVID situation, that people were forming an opinion based on what the media was saying and what the politicians were saying, and you weren't looking at the other side. So obviously that's, and so myself and Steve, the whole idea of that talk that we did was to reverse back and go, right, we're not going to give out the content, because you'll argue all night about the content. We're going to get into the actual psychology of what, how the mind works, and when you give them information and challenge them, the whole conspiracy theory. But let's talk up quickly about the Bible. And this is something that I did use, Kerry, if you, and obviously you're free to use this, everybody's free to use this. But I came across this situation a couple of years ago where I'm a musician, and I was in the studio with a band, and we were having a jam. It's a new band, you know, and the guitarist was a pastor, or he, you know, gave out Eucharist and all that, you know. And he seen some of my posts up on Facebook, and he said, oh yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're into UFOs. And I said to him, well, okay, let me see what you're into. I said, you're in the church, you're a pastor, like you give out, you know, and you believe the Bible and all. He goes, yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, let's have a look at what you believe, right? So I said, well, okay, so you have a talking snake. You have a man that has a ship that all the animals jump in 2x2. You have another man that speaks to a burning bush. Then another chap walks on water, and then he rises from the dead. And then in your ceremony or your sermon, you have the body, you eat the body of Jesus Christ, that cannibalism. Then you drink the blood of Jesus Christ, that's vampirism. And then you go to a building and pray to a guy that you've never seen. And you think, oh, I'm a nutcase. We've more evidence of UFOs than you have, and you believe this book. And I said, you think I'm a nutter? And he looked at me with his jaw open, as if to say, and then I said, this is what your book tells you, and you believe this book. And then he said to me, oh, he said, but that's just a metaphor. And I said, so it's not even true, and you still believe it?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it is a little like that, I have to say, in the extreme. And it gets even more bizarre than that. But yes, I'm good on you for kind of clarifying that. I think a lot of people could take that to heart, and also just understand that it's kind of like this, I don't know what you want to call it, the censorship world we live in now, okay, which is sort of politically correct and all that. Mm. So the fact that humans can't talk to each other and they can't talk about things around them openly and have differing points of view is so dangerous. The fact that this has actually become a pervasive way of looking at the world, and in the United States, a whole party and maybe, you know, that could even consider half of the United States, if you want to call them that, or maybe they're a lot less than half, but the Democrat Party is now advocating this very thing I'm talking about, which is to censor you and I from talking about anything to do with certain subjects. And so it's not even as bad as stigmatizing the name conspiracy that CIA did all those years ago through mind control, basically mind controlling people to try to veer away from questioning. This is the trouble with the entire world right now. And it's so important. And it's also the trouble with media and media in general and media on both sides. In other words, the mainstream as well as alternative, because they have these walls that get put up between people and, you know, to wall off certain possible things that are going to make them nervous. Like there's another person out there right now who's been attacking me because I talk about AI. Mm. Because I've interviewed people who are experts and who have dealt directly with AI and even, you know, God forbid, off-planet AI, et cetera. And first of all, they don't want to believe me, and they certainly don't want to believe my witnesses, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like this. If you say you're walking down a road and you meet five people, and all five people are saying, like, you know, ahead, you better be on your lookout because, you know, there's a train coming, and so you're going to have to get off this road and go over there. And you just completely deny that those people exist and literally deny everything they're saying to you. And then, you know, eventually the train will come. So I think the world is at this juncture at this point with regard to what we call alternate realities, the UFOs symbolizing alternate realities. It's not the only, you know, the paranormal is a gigantic topic, you know, going into all kinds of things, which includes so-called spiritual matters. Mm. What's real, what isn't. I mean, physicists have to deal with this question every day of their lives, you know, and sometimes they have an open mind and sometimes they don't. The trouble is that when we can't even have a dialogue, when we try to, people are silenced, the mask, of course, the mask was telling you, you know, shut up, just put up and shut up. That was the first message coming out right away. And of course, the WHO and all of the organizations out there, that's what they wanted you to do, was shut up, just shut up and submit. Well, that's Nazism. Okay. Obviously.
Mm, yeah.
And that's where we are. And I've just written a fairly substantial article about this matter, because if you want, you can actually cut and dry and target this topic as being the most important topic on the world today, on the world stage, is this issue of, do we live according to the way the Nazis promoted that you should live, or do we live in a free and open society where discussion is actually not just allowed, but required in order to reach the truth. And that goes for people in institutions, so-called institutions, religious, educational, et cetera, schools, you name it. And that also goes for media. And it's just extraordinary to me that after fighting World War II for the rights of humans to exist and to have and to be open and honest and speak out and so on, that suddenly this many years we would come to that. See, that was the 1940s. So we're talking 80 years ago, I guess, is what it was, give or take. And so now we're back to the same exact question, the same exact most important question on the face of the earth. Okay. Mm. And this is threatening everyone everywhere. I don't think there's a country. I don't think there's a city. I don't think there's any, you know, home, like a home, you know, with people, so-called family people, who where this isn't an issue. Do you simply shut up, do what you're told, and follow orders? Is that what you, that the kind of life, human life, you want to lead? It's just extraordinary to me.
It seems to me that we're at the stage with their desperation that it's the burning of the books and burning of the witches. You know, go right. after the alt media, go after the people, the 20% in the population that are exposing. Now, obviously, throughout history, I don't know whether you've seen that Norwegian psychologist who studied history, and he said with the demise of the empires over the history, he said there's always been the 20% of the population who affects that demise of the empires, because we are the people who keep saying, no, what you're being told is a lie, and these people are not who they say they are, etc., etc. And he said throughout history, he researched history, and he said throughout history and the collapse of the empires, he said it's always been the 20%. So whether it's more people now, because COVID has opened up a lot of people, and I looked at it from a celestial point of view, Kerry, and I said, you know, now me and Steve, going back way back when, me and Steve said we knew something had to happen on a global scale to wake people up, but we didn't know what it was going to be. But we knew there was going to be something. We felt it was going to be something. So fast forward now to obviously the last 2 years, and here we are that we have COVID. Now we have had families falling out with each other and partners falling out with each other and friends and family, and the whole thing has happened. But yeah, there's a lot of people that have actually woke up to what's going on. Now, I still think we have a way to go, because, you know, with what's going on and the energies, the human frequencies are off the charts, the energies are real high, people are feeling it, physically feeling it. So I do think that there is going to be, or there has to be something again for the next shift. And I don't think mankind will be able to do it. I don't think mankind is still at that stage yet, because you're probably seeing it. There's people still walking around with masks on. I mean, I see them. They're in the middle of a field, nobody around them, and there they are standing in the field with their dog with a mask on. And I'm thinking, what is going, what part of this do they not get?
I know, it's insane. It's just pure insanity. Yeah, exactly. Keep in mind that there's some hidden sort of things going on there, okay, in terms of programming the human, okay? One of the things that is sort of subliminal there, besides the one that where you put something over your mouth and it basically is telling you, and little children wearing these things as well, right? Mm. What message are they getting? The message they're getting is just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And what we don't want to do is see your smile. That's like the last thing we want to do, right? Because you are infecting us. Now, the idea here is that this is you have to think about this. A human would not devise this truly for other humans if they're really a human. They have to be, I'm sorry, it has to be, and I happen to have evidence to this effect, this has to be either an AI or an off-planet race that hates humans to devise this, okay?
Yeah.
So because they want humans to shut up, they want little children to shut up, they don't want humans to see their smile, they don't want us to hug, they don't want us to kiss, they don't want us near each other because we form what's called a field of resonance that goes out and can change the world. They don't want any of that to happen. This is devised by an off-planet race that wants to either take over and invade humanity and kill us all, or some facsimile thereof, or an AI that has no concept on what it means to be human, really, just knows what the effects of humans are and wants to get rid of them. So if you really think about these subliminal, I'm talking about like on the lower, the level that's kind of hidden, not the most obvious level, that's the only conclusion you could have come to during the last 2 years. Now, I have evidence from Captain Mark Richards before this ever happened. And of course, the evidence now is mounting on the side of the alternative, if you want to call it that. where evidence goes back to 1999. David Martin and other people have pointed out that this is a bioweapon, that it was planned in detail for many, many years before it actually got rolled out. And the evidence, I mean, the evidence is in. If this was a trial, they would have lost a long time ago if this was an honest trial. But of course, it's not. So you have the rulers of our planet, or would-be rulers, who pretend, just like today, the very day we're talking, in which the WHO, and I was just hearing that the WHO actually has no basis in reality for even existing, but that's another matter. You know, who are going to decide the fate of billions of people on this planet based on what they say, okay? And then you just have to submit. And they think they can cross our borders, so there's no such thing as countries as we conceive them, or human rights as we conceive them. So you got to understand, again, these cannot be humans. They have to be, either they're humans that are completely bought off or taken over or possessed, on the one hand, or they are AI driven, or they are basically aliens from another planet that would like to take us over. And as it happens, they are. So, you know, I can go into that at length, but and show you the evidence and so on and so forth. But I can tell you that, and Cyrus Parsa is another witness who is an expert on AI and can tell you that this weapon was designed by an AI, whether you like it or not. And it wasn't designed by an Earth AI. It was designed by an alien AI. I mean, this is where this goes. But no one, and I mean no one except me out, you know, and Cyrus possibly. And, you know, he stopped talking because he got attacked so much. I mean, the reality of what really goes on is not understood. They don't understand what's happening to humans here on planet Earth. And the stupidity and the sort of lockdown from both sides, from both the alternative, even pundits on the alternative side that won't even go near this subject with a 10-foot pole. The fact that they ban this kind of information should tell you that it's worth knowing, first of all. But it's so interesting how limited, if you really look at the scenario, that the analysis has been as to what is going on here, you know, and what was going on during the days of the Nazis? What was really going on? What was the modus operandi? What was the, you know, what was the intention? And I've written some articles about that, showing people that you've got to follow the technology that was given to the Nazis and how the Nazis came over with paperclip and avoided being go on trial for basically being, you know, whatever you call them, you know, in other words, this is just insane what we're dealing with. And see, because I have, since I was a child, I love mysteries and I wanted to find, so I found out there was these things called clues, and then you would explore the clue and you would see if it was real or not. And you would, you know, use that and then move along to the next clue and the next clue and the next clue. And eventually you would see a picture that might lead you like to the murderer or to whatever it was, right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's what doctors are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be investigating to find the truth of what's wrong, you know, when people come in and have something wrong with them, so and so. But all these people have like been lobotomized. They've completely abandoned any inquiry, any questioning, any idea that there might be a through line connecting all these so-called isolated events, you know, people being locked. Think about this. People are being locked in their houses. They're given food through a little vent thing in those, their apartment buildings in China, and basically killed. So they can't ever go outside, locked. I mean, from the outside in, it's insane. You know how insane this is. And then you have to look at a government that operates this way. What is the thinking? Is this human? Is this what we have known to understand as human? Forget, you know, is this Christ-like? Okay, that's so far away from that, you can't even begin, right? So, and yet people are allowing this to happen. They're actually dealing with these other humans, these beings that are doing this to their own people. They actually have in meetings and talk to as if they're, you know, just regular humans. That's not a regular human that would do that to their own people.
Mm. It's the same with the politicians. Over here and in the UK, sorry to interject there. Over here in the UK, you know, and probably other countries as well, especially in Ireland, they have reinforced the security over the politicians over here. They're paying more money. And you think, well, you shouldn't need that. If you were doing the right thing for the people and doing the right thing for the people, you'd be getting a pat on the back from the people. You shouldn't need security. And it's only because you're doing the wrong thing that you need security. But again, these people, you know, it's hierarchical, it's controlled, it's all multiple levels, and the information's been fed down, they're told what to do, it's corporations, it's not politics, and if you don't tie the party line, you get chucked out, it's all institutionalized, etc., etc. All countries, all parties, the same thing, and there's probably secret handshakes and nudge-nudge wink-winks going on there as well, and it's all kind of part of the mix to roll out this, and just people again are just so brainwashed and convinced that they're in the matrix, that that box in the corner is the truth from the media and obviously from the politicians. And each country, I mean, the amount of lawsuits that have gone in from people because of they've been abused, you know, because they refused to wear a mask for obvious reasons, for health reasons, and people again brainwashed. So I want to say
something to you, because, you know, I don't know if you know this. I was told this by someone who is in a position to be telling me correct information. So feel free to investigate this. But I heard that in Germany right now, you're not allowed to leave the country without a vaccine. You're not allowed to leave the country. So they've turned all of Germany into a concentration camp, and no one in the world is talking about it. So China is locking down their people. Germany has turned back fully, completely into Nazi Germany, right in the midst of their people, and no one is saying a word. Now, what the hell is going on?
Well, I know that there was an aircraft, there's a video of five aircrafts actually spraying in the sky the final countdown, and obviously Liam, a friend of mine that people know, he's been on the show, he happened to say, our coincidence maybe, a synchronicity, he said the song came on the radio the exact time he was on his phone looking at this video that he was sent by someone, the final countdown. Now, was that the German the government, was that the WHO trying to tell people that, you know, you're coming to the end, or was that more of a celestial, you know, I mean, I said that to him, I said, well, who did it, was it the good guys or the bad guys, you know, and what they were saying, what did they mean by it, you know, was it this countdown to this WHO taking control of the countries that, you know, and there's no borders involved. I mean, I know that over in UK, they have GB News, and I have to say, credit to GB News. They've been exposing a lot of the stuff. They've been interviewing a lot of the COVID people who've been damaged by the vaccine. One guy had his leg amputated, and they interviewed him, and they interviewed other people. And there's another presenter on there who is Scottish, and he did the Braveheart thing. He said, I'm refusing to do anything that the government say anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's really what we want to see from people, to stand up. And, you know, humour is a great thing as well. And I think if we start laughing at our governments and our politicians and, you know, see them for what they are, just puppets and idiots and parasites, you know, maybe they'll get it. You know, I mean, we can get angry and get upset, but you shouldn't be letting people like that rent space in your mind for negative energy. I just laugh at them. You know, just laugh and go, you're just so incompetent. You're ridiculous.
Say, I mean, I appreciate that. And humor is very good, especially if it's, in my view, sarcastic kind of humor that has sort of acknowledges a black humor kind of thing, as we call it. Anyway, but anger, don't discount anger as a motivator, because anger can motivate a person. I mean, it basically propels change in a person, because let's say something happens to you and you become angry over it, then you're motivated, okay? Then you're not going to let it happen again, and you're going to make certain changes in your life in order that it doesn't happen again. And that's, anger is the motivator. So laughter is a release. Anger is, you know, is more of a sort of a motivator, as I say. It's pushing you forward to take action, to change something. And so you need both in life. Obviously, you need release. And the other thing about humor is that it can throw light on a subject. Mm. And it can, you can stand back from it, see it in context, and see yourself as maybe separate from it to a degree. And then you can laugh at it and basically see it as the absurdity, which life is absolutely full of absurdities. One of the most absurd thing in the last 2 years was, of course, that you could walk into a restaurant, walk to a table without a mask. Everything was fine. And then arrive at your table, sit down, and suddenly have to wear a mask. Now, the insanity of that was kind of beyond the belief. But you have to understand also the reverse was going on. I know in England, things were different than America and so on. So all I'm saying is that when you looked at these things, and, you know, we would make jokes. We'd say, now COVID knows you're sitting, you know, so it knows you, or COVID knows you're standing. COVID knows you're in a, you know, you're in a stadium with thousands of people. COVID knows that you don't have to wear a mask there, but you have to wear it, you know, if you're with six people.
And what we had over here, COVID knew that if you went to a pub and you didn't buy lunch, it would get you. But if you bought lunch for 10 euros, it would not get you. Right.
Right.
I mean, this is just the absurdity of the rules. And then
so saying that we are living in an insane asylum, okay, where people literally would just stand and look at you and tell you these things about life that you know to be absolutely false, that even a 5 year old knows to be false. And they would act like it's God's, you know, God's truth.
Well,
okay.
You know, the joke was going around when Putin was all this in the media about Putin threatening nuclear attacks. And you'd go up to somebody wearing a mask and go, do you hear what they're giving out is cardboard boxes just in case there's a nuclear attack? And people say, but cardboard boxes, sure. What good would they do? He said, the same thing your bloody mask is. Nothing.
It's funny, yeah.
So, you know, again, seeing the humor in what's going on and the ridiculousness of, you know, letting people know about the masks, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
You know, it's actually a tragedy, and the tragedy goes beyond. Actually, this is going to continue. I know a lot of people think, okay, well, it's done, on to the next. And of course, they are trying to roll out the next diabolical bioweapon. Again, bioweapon, hello. And then the bioweapons labs that they've been discovering and so on and so forth. And what's really fascinating to me is, I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, Benjamin Fulford did an article and he said basically, okay, China and Russia are now ganging up on the United States and they're saying, reveal what you're investigating in your bio labs that are around the world, right?
Mm.
Never, just ignore the fact that they have their own bioweapons and their own labs, and the fact that that's like, they're totally hypocrites because they think the U.S. has to reveal theirs, but never in a thousand years would the Chinese. The Chinese don't reveal anything, let alone their bio labs, right?
Yeah.
And hence we're where we are. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about, is that hypocrisy, in the most obvious sense. You don't need to be a rocket science to figure this shit out. It's just right in your face. Hypocrisy in your face. And yet Benjamin Fulford will write a whole article about this. Look, he's a wonderful guy. I've interviewed him. I've met him in person, unlike most people, because we flew to Japan and interviewed him in the very early days. He's, you know, he's a very honest and straightforward guy. He's an excellent financial and, pundit and analyzer, and he has a record of a wonderful work over the years. So I'm not targeting him for stupidity, but I am saying that, listen, someone is feeding him this information, and maybe he's got a gun to his head. He lives in Japan. Who knows what? I do know that in my interview with him all those years ago, he sat down and said unequivocally that he was basically threatened by the triad at that time, that either he does what they say or they'll kill him. So that's what he's under. Okay. What are you under? You know what I'm saying? This is what people don't understand. They don't. The reason that I know a lot more than just your average Joe, I suppose, is that not only was I there and had heard him say it, I recorded it, I put it on a video, and that was, you know, close to, you know, whatever, 15 years ago. Now, sure, it's been forgotten since then and nobody paid attention or few people didn't remember. But do you think that's changed? Do you think suddenly Benjamin Fulford is a free man and in living in Japan, he can say whatever he wants? Mm. I mean, you know, you got to be mad. So look at the situation. But this is true of so many of the pundits out there. You know, you have to look at what is the milieu in which they operate. And some people will do things that you'll think are insane. And you have to look at, are they being threatened, number one? Mm. Is their family being threatened, right?
Yeah.
And that goes for the politicians. Mm-hmm. It goes for every single human out there. Because a lot of people that are out on the world stage are under control. They're yeah. under some form of coercion,
blackmail,
control, mm-hmm. and if not outright threats.
Yeah, blackmail. I mean, it's to get up to the high echelons of government and certain positions like that. You know, one of the things that I said to people, the five things they look at an individual would be sex, drugs, religion, politics, or the medical side. And they say, okay, what is this guy's thing that he's into? And then obviously they honeypots or, you know, whatever. And if it doesn't work, they might, you know, drug you up and then push you into a hotel room and send in a young 13-year-old girl, whatever, and take a video and go, right, we have this, we're going to destroy your life. Or they just threaten you. You know, I mean, it's the bog standards stuff you see in bloody Hollywood. You know, the same thing. I mean, they're very open to what they do and how they do it. And to get to that level. But one thing I was going to say to you there before I forget.
Let's take Joe Rogan, for example. He's a very well-known person. Mm-hmm. Somehow he's gotten, you know, enough financing, whatever, to put him on the world stage, front and center, perhaps has some talent. You know, I don't watch his show much, so I can't tell you how much talent he has. A lot of people follow him. But then you have to ask yourself, he made a recent statement, and it was the most insane statement. He said, I'm no longer going to deal with politics. And, of course, shortly after that, he totally dealt with politics, but no matter, this is what he said. And therefore he couldn't have Trump on as a guest because he was no longer going to deal with politics. Mm. And it turned out, you know, it's a bold faced lie. You can go back and watch the show, watch him say that. And he put that out. It was actually put out in articles as well on various media like New York Post or wherever. And then people just ignored that. Okay. But that was him under threat. Do you understand? Mm. He was threatened.
Yeah.
Therefore, he couldn't have Trump as a guest. But so instead, he comes out with some, you know, some statement that makes no logical sense, whatever, because this guy has had, you know, politicians on his show, senators, this one, that one. Right. Mm. And suddenly he's no longer dealing with politics.
Yeah.
A week later, of course, he's having a political person on his show. So this is what I'm talking about. He's threatened. So I don't blame him. You know, I may not like it. I may be able to tell you about it. But the fact of the matter is he's lying to the public because he has no choice. Mm. His career, his family, his whatever they're threatening him with, I don't know, but it's very easy to see that, you know, there's a, like you say, there's a whole sort of grab bag for that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we've got. So you get into a position of power, you get known, and then they threaten you. Mm. And you shut up. That's the game. And yeah, you know, I understand that people out there would wonder, well, what about me? You know, I'm in a certain kind of position where for some reason they have tried killing me. They've tried threatening me. They've done various things, but I don't seem to play the game. So it, you know, either they have to outright kill me or they just have to let me go. And they hope that I do have one thing that actually keeps me kind of safe is that I will talk about anything and everything and delve into anything and everything. And I love conspiracies. So you want to sideline me, all you have to do is say, oh, she's crazy. She deals with aliens. She thinks we're being invaded by aliens, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And so it goes. so that the mainstream won't look at me, won't talk to me as if I don't exist.
Mm. And also, the other thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about the alt media, and I mention it now, is sometimes that you will interview people. I don't have a problem interviewing other radio hosts because we're sharing knowledge and people get to know them and they can go over and listen to their show. I don't have any issues at all doing that. And even on OAN, we never had any issues with that. But it seems to be a one-way streak. You know, it does other radios, maybe they're just afraid that you'll take their audience or their insecurity or ego or whatever it is. But I find that I have done a lot. I've brought a lot of people on both shows on who had their own radio shows. But very few turn around and go, hey, why don't you come on and tell us what you know about X, Y and Z from your show? It doesn't happen. And I don't know. Is that an insecurity or an ego? I don't know.
Well, let me be the first to say, you know, please do come on my show as a guest. And I often ask the people that interview me on as guests, and lots of times I've already interviewed them, as it happens, for the people that do invite me on their shows, and I invite them on my show. It's like a natural thing. To me, if we're having an interesting dialogue, does it matter, like, who started it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, so we can still have if you come on my show, we'll get more from you than from me, you know, in that instance, because I will start questioning you and ask you about your background and you about this and that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it will be very interesting, you know, and I'd love it. I love interviewing other hosts. That's actually one of the fun things that I do, as you know, this job, because when I get a person who I can actually talk to, who goes beyond just a sort of a narrow subject, right? So other hosts are like me. They have to meet all kinds of people, cover all kinds of topics. So you become fluent and able to discuss all these topics from different points of view. And then of course, you've probably got some hidden talents. Like you said, you're a musician that are also areas where you can talk about with some area of sort of certainty or expertise, if you will. So I think that's also fascinating. But let me tell you something. One of the things that I like about the job I do is to be the most open to whatever someone's saying, okay? And that allows for controversy. And I do not shy away from controversy. I think it's kind of like the lifeblood of what we do, even though it's not acknowledged that way, right?
Yeah, totally.
Meaning something new comes into the room, something that has been either it's new or it's been, you know, sort of sequestered out. It's a secret topic or it's an area that what people don't talk about or they don't want to talk about or they don't want to look at it. That should be the very areas that we do delve into, because in a certain sense, you know, we perform a service. So this job that we do is because we are speaking for large numbers of people out there that don't have a voice, right?
That
don't have a platform or a voice. Some do. But bottom line is that we are, in a sense, bringing these things to the surface. I mean, everyone knows kind of the health sort of idea that if you keep things hidden, they fester and they make you ill. That's actually a basic human premise about our bodies and the way we operate. So there's a reason why we have a mouth and we talk, right?
Yeah.
Because actually we're talking about the good and the bad. And as a consequence, we kind of get it out in front of all of us and able to look at it, and then it actually dissipates and the negativity goes away. This is also the root at why John F. Kennedy said during his administration, incredibly bravely, that what we want is controversy. What we want is to talk about, is not to have secrecy, not to live in a world of secrecy. Okay, that's actually extremely detrimental to the human. It's a fact. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, we need some military secrecy to safeguard certain operations and so on and so on. But generally speaking, there's a reason why we're all in this together. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about a higher reason.
Yeah.
A reason that goes beyond just your everyday, you know, thinking of us as an Earth-like planet with a certain number of beings on there. There's a reason why we're all here. Okay. Mm. And the fact of the matter is that it's also being proven more and more that we're all psychic. Okay. Mm. And if you think about how we went through the various centuries and so on and so forth, you would realize that whoever devised this, you know, this sort of body mind complex type thing that we have here, we call a human, would know that this being would have to be able to sort of come and go and to speak openly and to interact with each other, and that they would be, you know, build communities, and that a safety mechanism for looking at the future would be at least some of their members would be very, very psychic and be able to see some portions of the future. Maybe not all. Maybe some of them would be right. Some would be wrong, however it would be. But this is a survival mechanism of a species to be psychic. Okay. Mm. And for those of you that are interested, you know, you would see one of the things that, like, the web bot, I'm not going to name the person who has that out there. That web bot, the only reason that person has one iota of information is because the web bot goes and spies on everyone on the internet. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Okay.
Yeah.
You could say it just goes visits everyone if you want to be nice about it, but you could also say it spies on everyone. So that's it. It gathers information, takes it back to some little, you know, computer home, and then it sifts it out.
The algorithm is put through it. Yeah.
You know, filters it, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom premise of that is that we humans, and this was proven by, you know, MIT during 9/11, et cetera, et cetera, we know the future, even though we don't know we know it. Mm. See that?
Yep, yep. But then again, and, I mean, then you're getting into timelines, aren't you?
Well, there is timelines, but nonetheless, it is, again, as I said, MIT with 9/11 has proven over and over again, exhaustively, actually, that humans knew that was coming, that a certain group of humans that they somehow had in the had selected and put into their group to be analyzed knew. Okay. And since then we've had tons of psychic stories about people that had precog dreams and so on. So all I'm saying is that not that there's not other timelines. Sure, there are. But the point here is more about psychic ability and the ability to see the future and how important that is to a species to survive. Because if you're not forewarned, then you're not forearmed.
Yeah.
You understand that.
But maybe that's changing now with the energies and everything going on, because more and more people are being triggered, activated, manifesting. It seems to be anyway, this is what's kind of coming down the pipeline. And maybe that's what's supposed to happen as part of our evolution. Now, you mentioned, you know, the program, the mind, body, soul. But some people will argue the point that we're in this holographic program. And I've had guests on, Anthony Peake being one of them, who would argue the point that, yes, possibly we are in this, you know, advanced Sim City holographic program, by an advanced AI maybe. And this is kind of part and parcel of, you know, what we have, you know. It's so I don't know whether you could kind of throw in the whole psychic part. Maybe that's part of the mix. Maybe part of the program is to evolve into having abilities.
If you think you're in a game, knowing what's going to happen next in the game is just intelligence. It's really by virtue of intelligence. Mm. And you, let's see, I think it was Einstein said that the measure of intelligence is actually imagination. If you can imagine it, it can happen. Mm. And therefore, it's just knowing the game, knowing the next step in the game. Mm. It's not actually what I would consider rocket science. It's actually part of it. So some characters are going to know what's going to happen, and others of the characters in this particular game, if you want to call it a hologram, I don't give a shit. That's fine. Mm. Call it that. I call it a game. But when you're in the game and a certain group is plotting and they're rolling out what you're going to experience, like let's take this latest horseman of the apocalypse, because they love to follow the Bible, like line for line. And then you have to say to yourself, well, who wrote that into the Bible in such a way to make humans follow it? You see, it's a rule book.
Yeah.
That's how the Illuminati view it. They view it as a playbook, okay, like a script. So when you make a movie, you follow the script. They are following a script. Script tells them what to do. Next time, next time, next time. And then the humans are going, you know, like they're playing the part of the audience and they're going, oh, that's so amazing. Of course, it was prophesied in the Bible. And of course, these people are actually reading the Bible and doing these actions. They're making it happen is my point.
And they're also, there's also a play on words, because if you look at the word Bible, you could break it up to, do you buy the bull?
Well, only in this day and age, but yes. Okay, fair enough, perhaps in English. But, you know, all I'm saying is that if you're using a rule book, if you're using a script to build this game, to build the hologram, you understand that? What I'm saying to people lately is, let's look outside the gates. Let's look outside the gates of the cage you're in. That book is actually put the bars of the cage around you. Now you got to go outside that in order to understand what's really going on here. Because some group who came before humans, who came to humans in various guises, who wanted you to worship them as gods, as God, okay? And that's humans used to do that, of course, all the time, right?
Yeah.
And they still do. And so, you know, I mean, what is there? Is this a Star Trek movie? I don't know if you've seen it. I forget which one it is, but it's a Star Trek movie in which a group went on a ship to another planet, and there were beings on the planets, human-type beings. And they land and everything, and the humans immediately want to worship them. And they basically, I can't remember exactly what happens in the show, but the bottom line, you know, they have this negative guy and so on and so forth. And he encourages them to believe in him as a god. And so indeed they do, and they do, you know, kneel down and do all that and kiss the ground. I mean, what do people do in religion? They kneel down and kiss the ground. They actually, you know, they bow, right? Well, in Christianity, they bow.
I will say, you know, I'm going to have to get over to the questions, because we've questions coming in from the chat room. Yeah. But I'll quickly say this. There is a book that I was given called Return of the Gods. And very quickly, this group of tourists in a kind of coach, the weather starts getting bad. So they drive up a mountain, go in a cave, and they're in there for a couple of days because the weather's so bad. When they come out, apparently everything's gone bar them in the coach. So they say, right, we're going to have to preserve history and start writing things down and everything else. So basically, I'm telling the story very quickly, but let's fast forward 25 generations later. And of course, they have their high priests and everything else. And one of the things was, we have to go in to the cave and speak to the oracle and get an answer for this question that we've asked. So all the priests go in and they ask a question to the oracle. And the oracle turns out to be a buckyball, or one of these, what do they call them in America? An eight ball, where you shake it and it gives you the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's one of them, you know, it's a black ball, and when you shake it, you ask a question and the universe is supposed to give you an answer. But the whole idea of the book was how people can be controlled and manipulated by something so simple over time, with brainwashing and control, which we've had for centuries anyway. But let me get over to the questions, Kerry, because I'll be giving out otherwise the listeners they don't get asked the questions. Right, Jim wants to know, how does Kerry believe that the lower levels of the cabal are controlled, given that the higher levels are compromised by blackmailing, paedophilia, etc.? Could the lower levels be possessed by an entity, mind control, or such like?
Well, no doubt about it. And one of those entities is called your television, you know, your radio back in the day, even. You know, propaganda is not an, it's a very old technique. So one of the ways that these lower levels are propagandized, and this starts when you're a little tiny child, okay? From the day you wake up and the adults around you are basically telling you how to behave, how to consider everything around you. If you say, I see a being, you know, and they're talking to me and saying that, so, oh, don't believe that. That's a ghost. That's not real. You know, come over here, Sammy, or whatever. And, you know, and go to this religious school or something that will get rid of that idea out of your head. So what I'm talking about is these minions that work for the powers that be, first of all, they have to be rewarded. So they think this is such an obvious, like, you know, situation. So they get rewarded by money, so-called prestige, special, you know, treatment. They're told they're special. That's one of the main ways aliens, by the way, take you over. So they believe that, and they prefer to believe that. You know, they want a pat on the head. They want their, you know, cookie or whatever it is. So it just grows from there. And you learn as a little child, if you say what the adult tells you to say and you do what the adult tells you to do, then you're like that, you know, that kid in school that everyone hates. Like, you know, the special kid who is treated well by the teacher because he mimics the teacher, right?
Yeah.
And all he is a fucking psychopath. Sorry for this. no, but, you know, I'm saying, in other words, that's the behavior of a psychopath. A psychopath learns to mimic others. And by the way, I mean, I can get into so many subjects here, and I know I could talk way too long, but I just want to say, people don't realize this, but when an AI is created, it's created by a being, right? Something that creates it. And when they create it, it's a mirror. So a AI starts out as a mirror of the beings that create it. From there, it grows and changes, okay, and can develop who knows what ways. But it always starts out with the beings as a mirror of the beings. Now, if you take that all the way up to an understanding of God and Satan, if you will, all Satan did was fall in love with the mirror. So everything they do is in the mirror. They thought the mirror was God. They think they are God. The mirror is God. They don't think of God as something separate over there. You know, they create. So there's a mirror. There's a mirror effect. And that's. That is actually the way AI starts. So Satan is actually AI in the end of the day. Now, if you want to call it Satan and you want to call it the devil and all this kind of stuff, you know, you have to understand that people are going to objectify you and they're going to think that you're so-called not real and that you're also worshiping yourself. That's what they do. They worship only themselves and the mirror. So it's a very interesting connection between AI, Satan, and the mirror, and understanding about the mirror, the value of the mirror. But as we all know, you are not the mirror. You can look at yourself in the mirror, but that's not you. Okay? So it's just an important piece of that information. I forget why I'm even talking about that. But anyway.
Okay, so let's fly through these questions, because we didn't even talk about the meeting in Washington yet, and we'll have to quickly give that a mention. I can see a part two in the pipeline. I think we're going to need to do a part two, Kerry. But okay, let's get over to the other questions there. Jim wants to know, does Kerry believe in Project Looking Glass, Bill Wood, and if so, believe we are on a positive timeline?
Okay, I don't believe in Bill Wood. Okay, first of all, his real name is Bill Brockbrader. He came out under his real name a few interviews later. It's very confused. I mean, there's a lot going on there. Looking glass, like there are tons of looking glasses. Again, looking glass is basically the mirror, by the way. So looking glass is a technology or one kind of technology, but there's actually many kinds of that type of technology. Bill Brockbrader was an individual who was actually in a military. He was, people go crazy over this. So he was what do they call these things? Navy SEAL. Okay. So he wasn't part of the conventional Navy SEALs. And Navy SEALs think they know everything. And they also think They know all about the secret space program, and they don't. And so they don't understand that their superiors or their, you know, people they report to, the generals, et cetera, would interject into their group an individual who's not trained the way they are. But they do it all the time. So, I don't know why it's so hard for them to believe. But at any rate, he wasn't trained the way they were. But he did something against their rules. Okay. He was told, and he operated something to do with, missiles that. So he was told to bomb basically a village. I think it was a Kurdish village in northern Iraq or eastern, wherever. And he, instead of doing that, for whatever reason, maybe conscience, he drove the missile into a mountainside instead. For that, he was court-martialed and put into the brig, as they call it. And he was kept there for like a month or two and brainwashed. Okay. When you look at his testimony, you have to know his background. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he's wrong. He learned about Looking Glass even before that. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's something of a computer expert, a techie. And he even said he had something to do with feeding information to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and so on. He said that much later. He didn't say that in the early days when I interviewed him. So I just want to say that we were already told about Looking Glass by Dan Burish and Marcia McAdall, who were part of MJ, to what is known as MJ-12, calls itself many things, like Scion, calls it Committee of the Majority, calls it all kinds of things. And it's much more than 12 members. But nonetheless, years before Bill Brockbrader ever hit the scene, there was Dan Burish talking about Project Looking Glass. So it wasn't a new concept. He acted as though he had, special knowledge of it. Whether he indeed did or not is another matter. And how much of what he said was his own conjecture and how much he really got from Looking Glass, how much they allowed him to have access to, how much might have been mind controlled into him. Again, you got to look at all the different sides. I'm not putting him down. I'm just simply saying, we don't exist in vacuums, okay? And so you have a certain picture because I interview somebody and they come forward with information. He obviously believes his own information. He talked about a converging timelines, so-and-so in 2012, that never happened, blah, blah, blah. And if you know anything about the Seth material, is a book by Jane Roberts written a long time ago now, but she had contact with an off-world entity called Seth, who explained the nature of timelines. And it's probably the best explanation of timelines out there, but most people haven't read it and don't know about it. I read it when I was like 12. Okay. And so it was an eye-opening book at the time. I can say that, yes, we have alternate timelines. I can say that, no, we don't have a converging timeline, because if you think about the multiverse the way it is, that's probably, a quaint idea.
Okay, yeah.
But nonetheless, so I guess I'm answering questions. So,
okay.
I think there are seeds of truth. In other words, if you want to look at, we do appear on Earth at this time, but it may be something of an illusion, that we do appear to be reaching sort of a crescendo of insanity, for what a lack of better term, which may have more to do with the idea that we've actually already become what's called an ascension planet. And that did happen in 2012, at least according to Ashiana Dean in the Voyager books and the Guardian races. But if you don't believe in ETs and you believe they're all spawns of Satan, that you're not going to believe in the Guardian races that are part and parcel of even creating your human body. So, and contributing their own DNA to make that happen, and are, basically looking over us and sort of keeping this human sort of experiment, if you want to call it that, active. But the bottom line is that, we are moving towards a time, and one can look at the Earth and look through history and see there were other times like that. I was fascinated to see that kind of when you watch and you read books and you hear people talk in sort of old terms, they thought back then that they were at this kind of a time. They thought, you know, oh, they're about to reach an apocalypse. Oh, there's the, you know, four horsemen in the apocalypse. Mm. And you can actually go through periods of history where all those things are operation and all appear to be, you know, true metaphors for what's happening, right?
Okay. Right. Let's see. Next question. CXZR008 wants to know, what do you think of the new media platforms?
Well, I'm a new media platform. I'm not sure what they're saying with that question.
Probably the likes of Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, you know, because of YouTube, been censoring everybody.
Yeah, but you can be actually banned from, I think even BitChute bans some types of videos. And, you know, I mean, I use them. I'm on them. You know, thank God they're there. But I don't. You know, I mean, it's just the current version of it. You know, I'm on Truth Social. I'm on Telegram. I like Telegram a lot. I like the freedom. Telegram lets you say whatever you want in as many words as you want and post all kinds of stuff. Truth Social is too limited, in my view. I think those creators need to expand their idea of what's possible to post so that it becomes a little more fluid and interesting, because it's so limited, you know, it's limited to the Twitter style that you can only say, I don't know, 30 characters or whatever it is. So the thing about Telegram is that it always has this freedom that's much not evident in most of the platforms, I have to say. But Rumble kind of is become more or less the standard, but the weird thing about these things, and I mean, I don't know for sure because I'm not a techie, but I have heard things like, for example, when my YouTube channel was taken down, and I've been down now twice and banned from YouTube for life. Okay. But they deleted my whole, you know, I had, I'll say the normal thing. Look, I had 70 million worldwide individual viewers, and I had 312,000 subscribers. They deleted me overnight for one sentence said by Robert David Steele in an interview that I did with him, in which he basically just said, you know, the sentence was something like COVID is a hoax. And then we went on to another, we were talking about a completely different subject for the whole video. So they actually had to search because it happened somewhere in the middle. So I guess, I don't know if it's an AI search they do, but they, you know, keyword search or whatever it is, but they found that and they deleted my entire channel over that.
Okay. Well, so, that would be just an algorithm search. They'd program in, be able to search for that, you know, in the audio.
Yeah. So, you know, and you could even say that, you know, since he worked for the CIA, it could have been intentional. But nonetheless, I have found that there are actually ties. So what happened was Odyssey sucked up my entire channel, except that they didn't take some of the videos, unfortunately, but most of my channel. So I got 824 out of over 900, over about 1,200 videos came over to Odyssey. But then I heard that there is a kind of a link between some of these channels. Rumble, for example, also has a through line to YouTube. So behind the scenes, you might actually discover that some of these channels that you think are independent are actually dependent on YouTube, even though they're a YouTube alternative. Why is that? Because the dark side always wants to own both sides, right?
Yeah. It's like a DuckDuckGo are using the Google algorithm, apparently.
Oh, yeah. You know. God.
Okay, so let me get on a few more questions here. I'm just watching the time there. We've about, you know, 15 minutes left. So let me see if we can get these in. CXZR again said, do ordinary people have power through the power of their collective thoughts, even sometimes a minority?
As far as I'm concerned, every human has power. And that we all can tap into, you know, the, if you want to call it the Jung's universal mind. Pete Peterson, one of our top whistleblowers, called it the information field. It exists all around us. It used to be called the ether in the old days, So yes, I mean, we're all, if you're not familiar with things like signal non-locality, that time and space, even a physicist, a conventional physicist will say, is one, okay? Mm. The Native Americans will tell you it's one. What does that mean? Time and space are one. It means that there's no real different distance between, say, me and Japan right now. Mm. Okay? That if I want to connect with somebody in Japan, it's instantaneous. Mm. And that's a fact of about the whole world. And if you want to think about it, it's also the fact of the whole matrix or the whole multiverse. And so aliens, if they want to think about or connect with us, they can do it across time and space. There is no obstacle to that because it's all one in essence. Time and space are one. Time and space are illusions.
Mm. Okay. Next question for you. Question from Hotley. And he wants to know, can Kerry explain about the solar flash that's coming to either change us or is it to wake the sleepers up? Thanks.
Well, actually, I'm going to be doing a show on with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who is a physicist I've interviewed many times. He's written a ridiculous number of books. He's an expert on what's called SciTech, and he used to train Navy SEALs for the government in that. He's also worked in black projects. He's kind of like your original, what do you say, doctor, not Doctor Who, but, you know, anyway, that, you know, this brilliant scientist who can create anything and do anything.
Yeah.
So he has been given information, I believe, he contacted me like a week ago to say that something is going to happen at the end of March, beginning of April, and I've sort of zeroed it down to an astrological configuration that could be the full moon eclipse that's scheduled to be in April 8th. Okay, so it could be that exact date, but he narrowed it to end of March, beginning of April type in 2024. So supposedly that's the window we're looking at, that something is going to happen. He said he called it a Carrington-like event, which is a kind of a solar flash if you go back to the Carrington thing. Okay. But he said it's not like that and most people don't understand what it's really like. So he's going to explain that.
Very good. Yeah.
And he says it is not an extinction-level event, but it will cause or trigger possibly, I guess, land masses, especially in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. What is going to do to the rest of the world, I don't know. But it's going to cause plates to go into crash into plates to raise land masses, and that land would begin to rise in certain areas, I guess, of the globe as a result. And it happens to coincide with, I have dreams of the future that do happen, and recently, this so-called possible invasion by China, by the U.S. by China, is a dream I had many, many years ago. Unfortunately, looks like it might even happen. I find that hard to believe still. But it's, you know, Mike Adams is talking about it. Dave Hodges is talking about it. I have a secret army witness who's talking about it. So what my dream of the future that actually coincides with Richard Allen Miller's information is a dream I had not too long ago, maybe a year or two, and it was of a mountain of land, a mountain rising up out of the sea in the vicinity or that could be seen from San Francisco.
So is there anything good coming out of this for people? Because this whole idea of the solar flash and the 5D and the split in frequencies or Dolores Cannon with the split of Earths and all that, I mean, yeah. Does that tie into this or is that just a bit woo-woo?
Well, in a certain sense, I mean, if you want to talk kind of slow motion, you see we're talking right now and we're talking about things that a lot of people, there's a whole huge population out there that don't talk about and aren't and don't even want to talk about, right?
Yeah.
That's a split, okay, if you want to look at it that way. And it does appear that that split that we're kind of alluding to right now is happening more and more. We're more and more seeing that there are actually humans that cannot see. It's almost like, you know, Columbus coming to America and what they said the Native Americans couldn't see Columbus and his ships. That's the story. Whether it's really true, that's another matter.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. Mm. So we exist all in the same reality, or we appear to. But it does appear that this is kind of like, that's why they might call it a kind of a final battle. It's not the final battle, okay?
Mm.
But it is a big battle right now between this kind of between the light and the dark, partly because, from my understanding, Earth has become basically unbalanced. So if you see it as a 180 degree sort of spectrum, and there was a needle, then you would see that we were way over to the darks, and that's where we are, basically. Mm. What the awakening is really bringing the needle back to middle, between yin and yang, you know, the polarities.
The balance, yeah, yeah.
It's, well, evil is not going to disappear, contrary to a lot of these airy-fairy kind of types.
Mm.
Okay, it doesn't even disappear in other dimensions, by the way. There's a reason, you know, evil has a purpose. And by the way I look at it is, you know, the dark serves the light in the end of the day. Why is that? Because anything that happens, think back in your own life, any obstacle that you encounter, let's consider you as light. Okay. As a little child, you're light, right?
Mm.
But when something gets in your way, you puzzle over it, you try to surmount it, you want to continue on your way, right?
Mm.
That thing you might call evil, and while you're dealing with it, it may indeed feel and look like evil, what we call it. It's darkness, meaning we can't see, okay, what it is. Once you discover what it is and you overcome it, it's no longer an obstacle, and you've overcome it. But what have you done in the process? You've grown.
Mm.
It stimulates growth.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening to the people on Earth. They are growing. They're seeing lots of obstacles in their way. It's kind of a crescendo of obstacles. And they are as a response, in order to survive and to continue on our way as light beings that we are, we have to surmount these obstacles and figure out a way to live, to continue our life force in the face of that.
I'd agree with that. I just don't think we've come all this way just to be destroyed. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, why go to the effort and do all the things, all the work we've done and all the work people have done just to kind of have a landmass issue and that's it, we're dead. It just, you know, it doesn't resonate with me that, you know, I could be wrong, I could be naive, but I just think there's, you know, maybe there is something coming down the line and maybe there is a split. As you say, I don't think evil in its form will go away, but maybe the real evil will go away, and over time, maybe this, you know, Age of Aquarius, 1,000 years, maybe by the time we get to the 1,000 years, everybody's singing Kumbaya and holding hands. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but you know, that's part of the evolution to get to utopia before the whole cycle starts again. Okay, so let's say, so that's just my take on it. Okay, last question. I'll have to try and get in here quickly, but it's a big question. I don't know whether you can answer this quickly. Question, Kerry, tell us more about the NHS meeting with Alien. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, you mean the one that I was told about recently and I published on an article?
The one I read out at the start of the show. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we went back to the source who went to this meeting, who flew back to the United States and to, you know, lives in Northern California. And they knew that the meeting happened. They knew that they shook hands with the reptilian, but they suddenly couldn't remember any detail, like 24 hours later. So that when they were questioned, because I gave my source a bunch of detailed questions that he should have asked, but he didn't at the time, suddenly he couldn't remember. Well, this is a typical way that reptilians are very good at wiping your mind. And so apparently they did. And so all he can tell us is, yes, I shook hands. Yes, they brought a military brought this reptilian to a meeting. Now, what matters about that, okay, in my view, is that it happened in a sort of conventional meeting that was happening, that was to some degree the NI, NHS, NIH in the US, and the European version of that, which I'm not sure what it is, they had helped arrange the meeting because they're invested in these companies working together. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and they were trying to, I mean, if you really want to know, they're trying to take over the innovative technology that this company devised in Northern California, and they want to control it. So they have bought all the rights to expand it technologically or something. Anyway, at that meeting, they did this because they knew, first of all, you know, this type of thing goes on, right?
Okay.
So I have a source that this person is friends with, who is in the technology company and in the meeting. And they know, they talk all the time. And my source is heavily surveilled because of his background, okay? Which part of which is that he is a former Marine, although people who are Marines say you can't be former, you can only be a Marine. Yeah. So you're Marine for life, he's a Marine. He's many other things, but, you know, he was also, I don't want to identify him too closely, but he was on a very top level in the financial field for most of his life. Okay. So he's trained by them even in Europe. Okay. Involved in the stock market and all that kind of stuff. So he is good friends, like I say, with this technologist who went to the meeting in UK. And the other thing is that he talks to me all the time, and I am heavily surveilled. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not like they wouldn't know that this guy would go to a meeting. He would see a reptilian accompanied by two, you know, American officers, and it wouldn't get back to my friend, the Marine, because they talk all the time. They're good friends. And not only that, but his friend even said to him, he told me that he said, "Thank God you're in my life because there's no one else in my life I can tell this to."
Yeah.
So that throws it down, right? Mm. So you show this guy a reptilian in a meeting, he's going to come back home and tell his only friend that he can tell such a thing to, who's not going to laugh at him,
yeah,
right? So he tells that friend, and I just happen to be, he's a source for me. You know, he's a colleague, friend, whatever you want to call him. I've known him for many years at this point. I've met him in person, and he tells me. Well, of course he's going to tell me, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like the UFO lady or whatever. I don't know what the fuck these people think of me. So call me what you will. So it's not rocket science to think that this was seeded out there on purpose. Now, what does it mean? This is important. What it means is that it's the New World Order basically saying, and I deal with Juan O'Savin all the time, right? I'm sending him stuff constantly. I've done articles and videos, and you can watch them. They're all on my site, you know, and I basically have told people there are two Juans and that one of them is JFK Jr. and blah, blah, blah. So I deal with him, and he's a key White Hat member, right?
Yeah.
So you can look at the trail here and know that, first of all, I'm going to tell him right away. And secondly, I'm going to put it out because I'm a journalist and that's what I do. And I want people to wake up.
Yeah.
So of course it's going to get out there, but it means the New World Order is basically saying to Trump and the White Hats, look what we can do and get away with. Okay. You want disclosure. Here it is. You know, we're going to out this. Okay. And who believes me? Who knows? Most people don't even know it happened. You know, I am fringe. Okay. They have kept me carefully as they can, and tried to maintain that to keep me as fringe as possible.
I know. So, yeah, and this is the thing, because like even Circle of Light and, OAM, we covered an awful lot of subjects. We covered everything from local politics. I mean, last week I was speaking to a guest. We talked about the issues in Ireland, for example, the day-to-day stuff. And obviously this week we're talking about UFOs. Next week we might be talking about something else. So, and this was what makes it interesting. But then they pigeonhole you, label you, trying to, stop you from people tuning in because, oh, they're woo-woo, they're conspiracy theorists. But look, you know, we'll keep carrying on. We've reached that time, but we'll keep carrying on and do what we do. And over time, I think more and more people are waking up anyway. But Kerry, a big thank you for coming on the show. Really really enjoyed the chat. It was too long, basically too long. So, you know, it was good catching up, and definitely having to talk about the alt media and stuff was great. As a like-minded person doing the same thing, it's great swapping notes on that one. So, you know, if you're up for it, then I think in a few months' time we'll do a part two and we'll have a catch-up, because some of the things we didn't even get to because we'd so much to talk about. But we've reached that time.
Let me say that for people out there that haven't followed my work, my Telegram channel is a really go-to place. It's free, obviously, and I share news items, not that I believe, okay? I don't even interview people that I believe. I interview people that I find interesting or might have some clue about something. They could know one thing and everything else they know is bullshit. I mean, to be honest, I don't discriminate, if you will, against someone coming on that does have a piece of the puzzle that I think it's worth looking at. I may not believe most of it, but I might think there's a grain there that you need to be aware of. So then I'll bring a person on. And the same thing goes with, you know, information in general. It's always kind of like a panning for gold, if you kind of understand that metaphor. You're looking for the nuggets.
Yeah, totally. Everybody has a piece of the jigsaw, and all the interviews that we have done in the past, I've done in the past, is all information that's part of the jigsaw to get an idea of what's going on. But give out your details there, Kerry, your website, your Facebook page, and let everybody know where you are so they can find you. They can pop over and have a look.
So it's Kerry Cassidy. Obviously, you've got my name. Project Camelot. I think most people know Project Camelot. We have been on the scene for quite a long, long time now. And my website is Project Camelot. portal.com or projectcamelot.tv or projectcamelot.org. All three of those URLs work. They all go to the same front page. The reason we had to start having new URLs is, for one thing, we found out we were banned in certain parts of Germany, go figure, and so on. So the ISPs banning one URL will let in the other because they didn't get glued up. So that's why we have three URLs. What can I say? I have a gigantic website. Everyone I've interviewed is on the website. So if you search under either the first or the last name, you should come up with most information about that person, and be able to watch their videos, etc. I have a Rumble channel that has lots of, especially my most recent videos. I am on BitChute, but not much, because I had trouble with BitChute in the early days. I found it to be slow and laborious in various ways. And I am on Odyssey with about 1,000, maybe 1,200 videos right now. They're all free. We have gone to subscription-based recently during COVID, because I was demonetized and there was no other way to make money, because I couldn't make money on YouTube advertising.
Yeah.
In spite of the fact that they were taking 45% of our earnings even back then, which is almost half. And if you look at that, that's like highway robbery.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so we survived because we have all the recent videos, over the last 2 years, more or less, eventually go behind what we call a firewall. And so if I do a video, if I do an interview, something like this will stay free, because it's basically your property, not mine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's okay. That's brilliant.
That's fine. But I could easily post this on my site if I had a copy of it. And, I do lots of interviews. I'm interviewed all the time nowadays. But the last 2 years of videos, I do two things. I do video blogs. I write articles and video blogs. So I do a lot of that lately, sometime once a week, pretty much. And then I also am interviewed by other people. And then I also do interviews. And I do around two or three interviews where I interview someone else every week. Mm. So look at that amount of volume of material I put out. I'm like a video factory.
Well, no, fair play that you do all that, and it really is appreciated. I know I have over the years watched your information and learned from it as well, and that's it. It's part of the jigsaw. Get the information out there and be entertain it. You know, the people don't have to believe it, but entertain it and just go and do your research and look for the similar, you know, information, etc., etc. But this is what we need with the alt media. You know, get the information out there. But Kerry, a big thank you for coming on. Much appreciated. Just stay with me there for a minute. We'll go off to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, nearly at the top of the hour. Well done to Kerry Cassidy. Fantastic information from Kerry. It's been a few years since I've interviewed Kerry. The last time was on OAM, so it's great to have her back on. And I'll send over, obviously, the podcast. She can put it up on her page. And she's invited me on her show to do a chat, do an interview with her. So we'll sort that out in the future. And I'll keep you posted on that. Now, next week, my guest is a chap called Agnost. And apparently he's a pilot. He's big into ufology and all that kind of stuff. He does his own radio show with a co-host in America. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Again, like Kerry, he's into all that information. See what he says. We'll speak to him about Solar Flash, where he's getting his information from and all that stuff. So it's going to be another interesting show to do. And I have a few more guests coming on over the next few weeks. I'm sorting out as well. So it seems to be either a feast or a famine for some reason. All of a sudden I'm getting more guests coming on. I'm trying to look for space to book them in. So that's a kind of a good complaint at the moment. Anyway, right, okay, I'm going to let you go. It's the top of the hour. Thanks to everybody tuning in. Thanks for all your questions. Appreciate your support and your donations. Much appreciated. As I said, the donation for April, May, this month went to the Shaolin Buddhist Temple in Slane, County Meath. Sifu Nick is doing fantastic work there, service to others. He's actually treating people. If you're in pain or you're ill, the Buddhist way is they can't charge, so the treatment is free. So if you are tight with money and you are in pain and you're not well, then obviously you can contact Nick. But obviously, you know, it's not going to be fair, Nick, if everybody starts ringing him up and he just, you know, he's booked up, you know, and days and days on end. But if, you know, if it's honest and you are in pain and money's tight, then obviously, and you can get to Slane, then obviously give him a ring, mention Circle of White Light Radio, and obviously he'll get it straight away. He's also open-minded about things as well. I was down with him today, funny enough, and we are having a good chat about the open-minded stuff. So you'd be able to have a chat with him about that as well. So that's all good, good stuff there. So just as I say, mention Circle of White Light so he knows where you heard it from. Okay, folks, have a good one. Take it easy and stay safe. If you have any information, send it over an email. And we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on circleofwhitelight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.